This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here's hedge fund manager Eric Townsend.
Macro Voices All-Stars Episode 104 was recorded on May 11th, 2020. I'm Eric Townsend. This episode of Macro Voices All-Stars is brought to you by TopTradersUnplugged.com, the leading podcast when it comes to quant and rules-based investing. I'll tell you how to claim a free copy of their new guide to the best investing books ever written at the end of this episode. Joining me today is Brent Johnson, founder of Santiago Capital. Brent prepared a terrific slide deck to accompany today's interview. Listeners, you'll find the download link in the description of today's podcast on our homepage at macrovoices.com, right next to Brent's picture. Brent, it's great to have you back on the show. It's been a while. I've been thinking about you a lot lately. You know, it seems to me like the U.S. dollar hasn't crashed the way the some people thought it was going to, but it hasn't broken out above 104 the way I was thinking it might have by now either. What's your take on the dollar?
Well, thanks for having me back, Eric. Yeah, a lot's happened since I was here last. You know, the dollar had a big move down and then a big move back up in that time. But now it's just kind of hanging out around a dollar. My story hasn't changed a lot. You know, a lot has happened since we've spoken, but my story hasn't changed a lot because I still think the whole world is going to be driven by what the dollar does over the next couple of years. And I still think it's going much, much higher. You know, the dollar is up about 4 or 5% for the year, which makes it one of the best performing asset classes for the year, or one of the best performing securities, however you want to define that. And, you know, I'm actually encouraged by the fact that it's above 100. But when you consider everything that's been thrown at it by the monetary authorities and what have you, I think it's been remarkably strong.
Now, you're one of the few people who have been consistently fairly bullish on stocks, on the S&P. Even through the coronavirus crisis, you were more inclined to say, hey, you know, we've obviously had a problem, but it's going to come back. Whereas other people were saying this could go, you know, a depression that lasts for years. Give us the update on where we stand and how you see things for stocks looking forward.
Yeah, thanks. So, you know, the last time we spoke, you know, I have this long-term channel that I've been following since 2009, and we had, you know, I'd been expecting a pullback. We'd finally pulled back into that channel, and I said I thought if it was possible, we'd go to the bottom of that channel, and that if we did, I'd pull all my hedges and I would just be long. Well, we went to the bottom of that channel. I pulled my hedges, and then the equities went down another 10% after that over the period of a couple of days. So, you know, I felt really good where we were at the beginning of March. I was very confident we were going to have a pullback, a hard pullback. And I was very confident the third week of March that we were making a bottom and we're going to have a strong rally. We've rallied right back up into the middle of that long-term channel. And I got to tell you, I'm not as confident right now. I just not sure which way we're going to go from here. My gut tells me we're going to go back down and test the bottom of that 10-year channel. I think that seems like it's most likely. But I still remain in the camp that over the next couple of years, we're going to go back up to the top of that channel, break out and move on to all-time highs. And I think, you know, this rebound that we've seen over the last month, I think it has a lot of bears frustrated and just can't believe it's happening. Well, I think that's going to be kind of the sentiment for the next couple of years. I think equities are going to go higher, and I think people are just not going to believe that it's possible, but I think that's what's going to happen.
Let's move on to gold, because I think you and I have agreed long-term, you just got to be bullish on gold. We both thought that, you know, boy, this thing is just so much so fast. There's got to be some kind of technical correction in the cards. And we really haven't seen that much of one. I guess we had a little one.
Yeah. So, you know, when it broke up through 1400 last year, I continued to say for the last year that I thought we would come back down and retest it. Well, you know, it didn't get much chance. It kept running up and running up. Well, but the main reason that I thought we would get a pullback is I thought that when the dollar eventually broke out, that would be a headwind for gold. Well, last month, or I guess in March, when we saw the dollar finally started to break above 100 and retest that 104 level, it caused a liquidation in all markets. And I thought that would cause a liquidation in gold, and it did. Gold pulled back to 1450. Now, it didn't pull back to the 1400 level that I thought it would. And that might be it. I don't know if we're going to get a pullback to 1400. But, you know, the same thing with the miners. I thought, you know, even last year after it broke out, I thought we'd get a pullback in the miners on some kind of a liquidation event due to the dollar spike. And that's exactly what we got. We pulled back below where they were last summer. And we've had a really strong rebound in both of them. I did not add to my positions. Even though I've been saying for a year that I thought gold would pull back, I still maintained my position in gold. I didn't sell my gold. I didn't sell all. I had sold some. I didn't sell all of it. And I still have my allocation. But that said, I still think if we get another dollar spike and another liquidation event, I still think gold is susceptible to the downside. Now, again, I know people hate it when I say this. Again, I think everybody should own gold. I think it's one of the most important assets in your portfolio. But, you know, if we get into one of these spiking dollar events and people just need to get liquid, you know, gold is a source of funds. And that was proven again in March.
Now, it does sound to me like there's a change, and it very much echoes my own views on this. Last few times I've interviewed you, you've kind of been sticking to, you know, I really think that sooner or later we're going to get back to 1350 or 1370 or something. It sounds like you're probably in the same boat I am, which is, you know, there's a lot of good arguments for that, but the tape's just kind of proven us wrong on that one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've said all along, I could very well be wrong. I think everybody should own gold. It's not necessarily going to pull back. I still think it will, but listen, it might not. I mean, I'll say this. I think the next couple months are extremely important. I mean, gold kind of has everything going for it. You've got widespread distress in the system. You've got central banks who've absolutely lost their minds. You've got shaky equity markets. So, you know, it has a lot of stuff going for it. The one thing I would say is that the caught position, I think, is still relatively dangerous. The commercial shorts as a percent of OI have never been higher in history. I think that's a danger. And I think, you know, real rates are starting to rise with inflation coming down and commodity prices falling in general. You know, that means that real rates are rising. And so, you know, those are two potential headwinds. But I think if gold is going to break out definitively, and some people say it already has, and, you know, I'm not going to argue with them too much. But I think if gold doesn't break out definitively in the next couple of months, then we probably going to have some trouble in the fall.
Brent, moving on to page 7 in your slide deck, looks like we had a real opportunity in the gold mining stocks, particularly the juniors, but, you know, it's already behind us. We've retraced all the way back up to pretty much where we were on the highs. For those who missed it, is there still a better play in the mining stocks, or if you're trying to allocate between bullion and stocks, how do you do it at this point?
Yeah, so I still own bullion. I have not gone back into the miners. Again, I still think that it's possible that we're going to have a pullback. Again, we might not. And if you've got strong hands and you've got a strong stomach and you want to have exposure to the miners, you know, I won't argue with those who have it. I will wait for another opportunity. For those who are buying into the mining stocks, one thing I would say to make sure of is take a look at where the gold mining mines are for these companies that you're buying. And also take a look and see whether the countries in which those mines are operating have U.S. dollar swap lines with the United States, because I think that's going to be very important. I think the dollar is going to be used as a weapon over the next couple of years. And I think the countries that have swap lines were going to be, they're going to get more liquidity than those countries who do not. And if you're in a country that needs dollars but does not have a swap line, they're going to look to their industries and their companies that sell their product in dollars, and gold mines will be one of them.
Brent, you've got a terrific slide deck today. We don't have time to get to all of it, but I do want to touch on commodities, which you've got here on page 14. What brought this chart about? What's on your mind?
Well, I just think, you know, again, typically when the dollar goes up a lot, that's not in generally a good time to be in commodities. And I know a lot of people have said, you know, commodities are at their all-time low. They're, you know, it's due for a rebound. And I'm just not sure that we're there yet. I can see an inflationary scenario setting up, but I think the primary driver right now is deflation. And I think no matter how you look at this chart that I'm showing you, this is a bearish chart. This is not a pretty chart. And I think, you know, the next time we get into a dollar spike, which I'm still convinced is coming, you know, commodities are going to go lower. So I think you got to be very careful about, you know, allocating to emerging markets and commodities at this point. I would not be allocating assets to those areas.
Well, Brent, I can't thank you enough for another terrific All-Stars interview. I've been following your fund. I know your strategies are doing extremely well, and I know that unfortunately you're not at liberty to comment about it for regulatory reasons. But aside from the fund that you offer to accredited investors, for our non-accredited audience, and of course accredited folks can contact you to get that performance data, but for our non-accredited audience, how can they follow your work?
Well, I'm pretty active on Twitter, Santiago AU Fund. You can call me, you can email me. My website is just santiagocapital.com. It's just a landing page, again, for legal reasons, but my contact information is on there. Obviously, I love coming on Macro Voices. There's a, you know, you can listen to the interviews here as well as the previous interviews we've done. But in general, I try to get back to everybody who contacts me. Sometimes it takes me a little bit, but I always appreciate talking to listeners.
Well, Brent, we look forward to getting you back for another update in a month or so. This episode of Macro Voices All-Stars was made possible by TopTradersUnplugged.com, the leading podcast on quant and rules-based investing. Be sure to claim your free copy of their recently updated guide to the best investing books ever written at TopTradersUnplugged.com/macro guide. And if you haven't heard it yet, be sure to check out my full-length interview with Niels Kastrup Larsen on trend-following strategies, which is linked in your Research Roundup email. For the Macro Voices Podcast Network, I'm Eric Townsend.
That concludes this edition of Macro Voices. Be sure to tune in each week to hear feature interviews with the brightest minds in finance and macroeconomics. Please register your free account at macrovoices.com. Once registered, you'll receive our free weekly Research Roundup email containing links to supporting documents from our featured guests and the very best free financial content our volunteer research team could find on the internet each week. You'll also gain access to our free research library. And the more registered users we have, the more we'll be able to recruit high-profile feature interview guests for future programs. So please register your free account today at macrovoices.com if you haven't already. You can subscribe to Macro Voices on iTunes to have Macro Voices automatically delivered to your mobile device each week free of charge. Macro Voices is presented for informational and entertainment purposes only. The information presented on Macro Voices should not be construed as investment advice. Always consult a licensed investment professional before making investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed on Macro Voices are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the show's hosts or sponsors. Macro Voices, its producers, sponsors, and hosts, Eric Townsend, shall not be liable for losses resulting from investment decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on Macro Voices.